En je ask the parents to rise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. And therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may be then be manifest that thou art thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to the following three questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. The second question, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testament and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. The third question, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father Kelderman, Mother Kelderman, Father Vanderboom, Mother Vanderboom? Dear parents, what a privilege it is to receive children out of God's great and merciful hands. You know probably the words from Psalm 128. We read there that the Lord will bless those who fear him. And then we read, they will have children like olive plants around their table. A beautiful picture. Especially when we know, if you know, that the olive tree or plant is a picture of fertility and the Lord's blessing in old Israel. And especially at those times, the Old Testamentic and even the New Testamentic times, children were the hope and the promise for the future. They are even today, but especially back in those days, they were the promise and uncertainty of a blessed future. Children were able to take care of their parents in their old days. There was no social security back in those days. They ensured that the family's name will live on. But more important, God made a covenant with the people of Israel, and he promised them Messiah and a future kingdom of peace. Well, without descendants, without children, there will be no future Messiah. There will be no kingdom of peace. So the promise of the Messiah and his kingdom of peace would only come through if there were descendants. And so the creation mandate comes through to fill the earth and subdue it, that the earth may be filled with God's name, with his praises. But is it different today? Actually, it isn't. It isn't. Despite what contemporary society may feel about the gift of children, they are a blessing from the Lord. They are such a rich blessing. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to receive these children from God's hand. They are the next generation. And their task is to fill the earth with God's name. To praise Him continually. That's our task. It's the task of our children. And we know that at God's time, the Messiah will return. And He will establish His kingdom of peace forever. Parents, it is only possible through Jesus Christ that your children and you yourself will praise God's name and fill the earth with God's name. It's only through Christ. In Him is forgiveness of sins. In Him is righteousness. In Him is life. In Him is everything we need to come to that purpose, that goal for our life, to praise God continually. Parents, what a responsibility you have in raising your children in a godly way and to lead them, to take them by the hand and to lead them to Jesus Christ. That's the first and most important task of raising your children, to lead them to Jesus Christ, to open scriptures with them, to pray with them and for them, to wrestle with them and for them, to plead on God's promises that will come true. And these things can't be done in your own strength, you know that. But the Lord is so willing to help, so willing. May the Lord bless you in that parenting. And plead, parents, with God, that He will fulfill the promises sealed unto your forehead and the forehead of your children. He can do the impossible. You can't give them faith and repentance. But the Lord, again, is so willing to do it as expressed in baptism. They receive the sign and the seal of God's willingness. Certainty of His promises are clearly shown. Well, tell your children, please, that what their baptism is. Instruct them that they are baptized and explain for them what it is that they are baptized. Well, may the Lord bless you abundantly. We now sing Psalter 289, four stanzas, 289. And we'll sing stanzas 1-4. Then the baptism will be administered first by Pastor Kelderman for his grandson, and then by me for your child. And then after the baptism, we will sing Psalter 425, verse 5. So we will now sing Psalter 289, first four stanzas. Then the baptism will take place. And after, immediately after the baptism, we will sing as much as possible standing Psalter 425, verse 5.
Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Leo Adrian, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now give thanks to the Lord for this baptism and ask for his blessing upon this service and the sermon. Let's pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through the Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee that through the same Son of thy love, that thou will be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness and under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee, and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the only one true God. Lord, we thank thee that we this morning not only may hear the gospel, but may see the gospel. Lord, what a privilege it is to receive these two children and in the midst of this congregation, and that these two children are baptized and bear with them now the sign and seal of thy promises. Lord, thou art such a wonderful and good-doing God. We are sinners. We are totally depraved. We are lost in ourselves. We are so wayward. But in spite of all that, thou art a God of great love, condescending love and goodness and mercy and grace. Thou gavest thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as a propitiation. O Lord, we Thank thee for his vicarious work. Lord, we ask thee to grant us repentance and faith, to work in us regeneration. Lord, bless us in this morning. Bless us in preaching the word, in hearing the word, in singing the psalters, in praying to thee, in praising thy name. Lord, we ask for thy Holy Spirit, that he may work mightily among us and in us, that he may edify us, that thy kingdom may be expanded. Lord, we thank thee again for the administration of the baptism to these young, two young children. And we ask thee to bless these parents, to give them all they need in raising their children in a godly way. First of all, faith and repentance. And therefore, Lord, give them thy Holy Spirit, that he may edify them, that he may give them strength and the knowledge to teach and instruct their children. Lord, we pray for these two young children, that the promises, thy promises, signed and sealed to their forehead, may come true. That indeed they will come to faith in Jesus Christ, thy Son. And that they will show repentance in their life. And that they may live holy and upright. Lord, grant them thy Holy Spirit. We pray for each other as we are gathered here together this morning. We ask for thy blessing upon this service, and we ask for thy Holy Spirit. We pray especially for them this morning who go alone through life and never could begin their own family. Lord, bless them with faith in Jesus Christ, thy Son. And that they may see that they in him are part of another, a spiritual family. And that there is an heavenly groom. Lord, be with them and bless them. We pray for them who never did experience the gift and the joy of children. And we ask thee, Lord, to fill them in a special measure with the joy in Christ. That's an all-surpassing joy. We pray for them who lost children. How unnatural it is to lose children who belong to the next generation. And thou knowest, Lord, how difficult it is can be to bear. Give them the shoulders to carry this load. Uphold them with thy mighty hands, and that they may experience in a special measure fellowship with thee. We pray for them who have children who left the church and the covenant area and who live in this world. Lord, for thee nothing is impossible. Please bring them to repentance and faith. We plead on thy promises made in baptism. We pray for the expecting mothers among us, that thou wilt uphold them and strengthen them and save the life they carry with them, and that they may in due time receive a healthy child. We pray, Lord, also for Joe Parmeter. He was released from the hospital but is again hospitalized. Lord, be with him, that he may return home soon. Lord, bless him. And his wife, Sarah, and Colton, their son. We pray for our brother, Pastor Kelderman, here this morning, who administered the baptism of his grandchild. Lord, we ask him to bless him at the ministry and the service thou gave him at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. Also be with his wife in their frail health. Lord, bless her and be with her. Hear our prayer in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We will now sing Psalter 173. 173. And we'll sing three stanzas, 4, 5, and 6. That's Psalm 66, Psalter 173, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon this morning is the song at the Red Sea and baptism. The song at the Red Sea and baptism. Two thoughts. First, the song and separation. And second, baptism and separation. So the theme is the song at the Red Sea and baptism. Two points of attention. First, the song at the Red Sea and separation. And secondly, baptism and separation. Dear congregation, the form for the administration of baptism includes a beautiful prayer. We have prayed that prayer before baptism. Maybe you know the name of that prayer. It's often called the flood prayer. The flood prayer. Why? Well, that's because that prayer begins with the flood and the passage, then secondly, through the Red Sea. But because it begins with the flood in the days of Noah, it is called the flood prayer. Well, and in that prayer, it is told to us that both the flood in the days of Noah and the passage through the Red Sea in the days of Moses are images or types or pictures of baptism. And that's, of course, why we open Scripture here at Exodus 15. That prayer, and in the form for the administration, that flood prayer is a truly beautiful prayer. It's an old prayer. In the form we have it, received in our form for the administration of baptism, it is from the hands of Luther, but it's probably from older days. And the connection that is made in that flood prayer between, on one hand, the flood and the passage through the Red Sea, and on the other hand, baptism, is truly biblical. It is really biblical. And this connection was taught and thought through in the early church again and again and again. Let's go over that prayer quickly. It begins with these words, the flood prayer. O Almighty and Eternal God. What a beginning of a prayer. God is invoked, but God is the Almighty One, God who can do the impossible. The Almighty God is invoked. And then we read, let's continue to read, Thou. So the God who can do the impossible, the Almighty One, the Creator of heaven and earth, that God. And we read, Thou, who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with a flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel safe through the midst of the sea upon dry ground. This prayer, the flood prayer, reflects on God's mighty great deed, that God indeed can do the impossible. On one hand, he drowned his enemies and the enemies of his people. And on the other hand, he saved his people. He did so in the flood, and he did so in the passage through the Red Sea. And then we continue to read, by which baptism was signified. In other words, these mighty stories of the flood and the passage through the Red Sea that took place concrete in history are a picture or an image or a type of baptism. In other words, baptism shows us that God's enemies will perish under his threat. But it also shows us and depicts us that for God's people, the same waters of judgment mean salvation, deliverance, the same waters of judgment. There is a separation indeed. And then finally we pray, let's continue to read. We beseech thee that thou will be pleased of thine infinite mercy and underscore, please, infinite. Graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by the Holy Spirit into thy Son. In other words, these mighty acts that took place concrete in our history are a pleading ground. The mighty act, because it is a mighty act of baptism, is a pleading ground. Lord, make it a reality in the life of these children and our lives, that we will not perish as your enemies and end up in that eternal fire. But Lord, save us as you once led the people of Israel who followed the mediator Moses through the Red Sea. Lord, you save them. Please save me. Save my children likewise. Please. What a beautiful prayer, isn't it? Beautiful prayer. Well, in short, there is every reason to reflect on this passage through the Red Sea in a baptismal service. That passage through the Red Sea is a mighty act of God. And it had great significance for the people of Israel back at those days. Telling is the beautiful song we have heard. Let us read verse 1, Exodus 15, verse 1. And we see Moses standing there on the shore of the Red Sea, surrounded by the people of Israel. And then we read, then sang Moses and the children of Israel, and this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, and then follows this beautiful song. Well, the deed that just took place was indeed impressive. Just look back a little bit in the previous chapter, Exodus 14, verse 28 and 29. And the waters returned. First, they were like walls, isn't it? And the people of Israel passed on as on dry ground in the midst of the sea. And the waters were as walls at our left and right hand. And then we read verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. They were chased by their slavers, chased by Pharaoh and that mighty host. And they stood there on the shore. Behind them, Pharaoh and his mighty armies with all his chariots, his chosen men. Before them, the impossibility of the sea. And then Moses raised his hand, and there was this safe passage. And they passed through the sea, and there they stand. And where are their enemies? They exist no more. Drowned. Here stands a free people, liberated, delivered from the hands of their slavers, delivered from Pharaoh and his army who chased them. What an amazing story. And between the people of Israel and their previous life in slavery lies water. The water of separation. That water of separation is between their old life as slaves, driven forth by slavers and slave masters. And here they are, free people, liberated, underway to the land Canaan, that land overflowing with milk and honey. And God will be go for them. He will be after them. He will carry them for 40 years. There they stand as a free people, liberated, Oh, and that song is so beautiful. Maybe you can read it again later today. It's a beautiful and remarkable song. By the way, did you know that it is the first formal song in Scripture? This song is the first formal song. And that gives it, of course, some extra weight. It is really and truly an important song. And that song is beautifully in construction, in content. And realize that Moses composed and sang it on the spot, as it were, spontaneously, of course, driven by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him, dwelled in him, and he composed and sang this beautiful song in which he magnified and praised God for his wonderful and mighty deeds. And then, all the people, and you know how many people were freed, like 600,000, 800,000, many. And there they take over this song and they sing along with Moses. What a beautiful choir. Magnificent. And then Miriam takes it over and we hear all the women singing. They are full of joy. Their God is a God who is alive and they are his people. So Moses sings a song to the people of Israel. And that song is adopted by so many mouths. By the way, the word used for song here is shir or shira. Shir is the verb to sing and shira is the song. Maybe you hear at times this name because it is also a name for sometimes given at a girl or even a boy. Shira, beautiful name for girls, Shira. And we know the word maybe from the Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim, the Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim. Well, here is such a beautiful Shira, the first in the Bible. But what is it that Moses sings, driven by the Holy Spirit? Let's pay a little bit closer attention to this beautiful song. In the hope and prayer that we will take over these words and sing driven by the Holy Spirit of God's mighty deeds, performed there at the Red Sea, performed there at baptism, and that we may sing, O Lord, come, make it true. Well, the first thing you probably will notice when you read this beautiful song, that you read the word sea 6 times, and that you read the word water 3 times. So totally 9 times it speaks about sea and water. Just pay attention to verse 19. There you see it very clear. Verse 19. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. You know, in the end, it is all about the sea and the waters and the separation. This great miracle of that safe passage through the Red Sea, and that the enemies of God's people and of God were drowned there, has 2 sides, right? The first is, of course, that the slavers, their slave masters, were drowned there in the Red Sea. They are no longer alive. The waters of the sea passed over them. Just read with me. Verse 5, the depths have covered them. The Red Sea is a deep sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone without life. Enemies of God. And they sank to the bottom as a stone. And then verse 10. Thou didst blow with thy wind, The sea covered them. They sank as a lead in the mighty waters. You see, for the Lord there is no enemy. He can do the impossible. He is such a great and wonder-doing God. But for the Egyptians, for Pharaoh, the Red Sea were the waters of judgment. They were righteously judged by God for their unrighteous deeds. And they found their death in the waters of the Red Sea, the waters of judgment. But the same waters of judgment are for the people of Israel, the waters of deliverance. What a miracle! They passed through the Red Sea, safe, dry-fooded. And we have read right in verse 29 of chapter 14. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. You see what happened? God performed his miracle. But Moses was the first one who walked through the Red Sea. And the people of Israel, they trusted God and they followed their leader, the mediator of the old covenant. And because they trusted God and because they followed his mediator Moses, they passed safely through the Red Sea. No death, but life. Underway to that heavenly land, that land overflowing of milk and honey. But in short, again, the water here is the water of separation. On one hand, we see there on the shore free and liberated people, and they may set out to Canaan, and they will certainly arrive there. If they follow Moses and trust God, and then they will, by faith, by following their mediator, safely enter into that land of milk and honey. What a tremendous joy must have filled these people there. Tremendous. But what is the second thing that asks for our attention, looking to these people standing there on the shore of the Red Sea? It is not only that they are freed, liberated, but secondly, that the Lord expects them, of course, to respond to this mighty act of salvation and liberation. The Lord expects faith. Without any doubt, he expects repentance and faith. He delivered them. He redeemed them. So we ask them, please follow me all the days of your life. Please trust me. The Lord is expecting the fear of the Lord. That they know the Lord and that they trust him in all their ways, wherever their ways go. And the third thing, of course, the Lord expects them to serve them. So he set them apart as a liberated people. He expects, of course, faith that they will trust him. And then thirdly, he expects that they serve him. Because what did Moses ask from Pharaoh again and again and again? Let my people go forth that they may serve me. The Lord frees and liberates his people just for one purpose, that they will serve him, not the world, not their own lusts, but that they serve him all the days of their life. Therefore, not long after this great liberating deed of the safe passage through the Red Sea, the Lord makes a covenant at Mount Sinai, and he gives them his precepts, and he tells them, I liberated you. I am your father. Please be my child. And this is what I ask. Serve me with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Love me above all and the neighbor as yourself. And then we hear these 10 commandments. You know what's so poignant is? It is so poignant to realize how many of these liberated people later did not live in faith. They did not serve the Lord. They were not devoted to Him. The Lord freed them. 10 mighty acts. The safe passage through the Red Sea. Their enemy drowned. A free and liberated people. They sung this beautiful song. But later on, so many of them, no faith. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 5, makes it clear. 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the Red Sea. They were all baptized unto Moses. There was fellowship with him. That's what is meant with baptism unto Moses. There was fellowship with him, their mediator. In the cloud and in the sea, all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. And then read Exodus 14, verse 31. Compare the words of the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, that the Lord was not pleased with many of them. No faith, no true faith. And then read Exodus 14, verse 31. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. But apparently, for many of them, it wasn't true faith. Not all of them didn't believe. Well, before we end this sermon by your reflection on baptism, let us first sing a psalter. 384. 384. And let us please search our hearts. Psalter 384, stanzas 1 and 5. Some words of application, baptism and separation. It isn't difficult, isn't it, to connect that passage through the Red Sea, the drowning of the Pharaohs with his mighty armies, and the safe passage of the people of Israel with the baptism. Because baptism is also a picture of separation. Of course it is. Just as the waters of the Red Sea made a separation. And in both cases, both the safe passage through the Red Sea and the drowning of Pharaoh there in that Red Sea, that miracle of the Red Sea, and the concrete act of baptism, they both point to a far greater spiritual reality. First, who was the first one who passed through the Red Sea? Moses. Who is the one who first passed through the waters of God's judgment and death? The mediator of the new covenant, Christ. He willingly gave his life. You know, Moses was just a picture and a type of Christ. He didn't have to die there in the Red Sea. Also for him, there was a safe passage. But Christ, he died in the waters of God's judgment. Because these two children which were baptized deserve already now, because of your sins, parents, and the sins of your grandparents, and my sins, and the sins of our forefathers, because of our fallen Adam and Eve, your children deserve God's wrath. But now it is showed to you and to them that Christ went into these waters. He took away God's wrath. He carried God's wrath on the sins of his people. And he did so, right? He died vicariously. Amazing. That all who follow him, that's the most important task of raising your children, to teach them what baptism is, to take them by the hand and to lead them to Jesus Christ and to tell them and to plead with God that they will follow Jesus Christ. And that there is forgiveness of sins and life. Please be aware, if there is no faith in our life and the life of our children, we will perish there. It is only in fellowship with Jesus Christ that there is forgiveness of sins and righteousness and life. But without him, we will perish. Without Christ, we are God's enemies. Indeed, the waters of baptism are the waters of separation. Separation. Baptism, what a privilege it is. Why? It sets your children and all of us who are baptized apart. It sets us apart. God told your children, I am your father. You are my child. He not only spoke it, right? It's depicted there in baptism. It is even sealed on their forehead and sealed on our forehead. In baptism, we are set apart. What a rich privilege it is to be set apart from the world. But second, baptism tells us that without faith in Jesus Christ, we will perish there. It is all about our response to baptism, our response to what is depicted in baptism, namely, that there is a mediator who carried God's wrath upon our sins, who is the Lamb of God for the sin of the world. It is all about our response, our faith in him. He bore God's judgment that we should bear. And in him is a complete forgiveness of all our sins. Complete, dear congregation. But thirdly, baptism also calls for a life in devotion. Let's reflect on that for ourselves. Just forget for a moment our children. You were once baptized. I was baptized. Your grandfather was baptized. Your grandmother Most of us here were baptized. Baptism first sets us apart. What a rich privilege. We carry the seal of God's promises. He's so trustworthy. Second, it's all about a response of faith. And therefore we need regeneration. But thirdly, and please let us reflect on it, baptism demands a life in devotion to God. And there we stand all guilty. Lord, forgive. There should be far more devotion to you. I should serve you with all my heart, with all my soul. But Lord, I can't. I'm weak. I'm sinful. Yes, we are. And therefore, the emphasis is on that second step, right? Faith in Christ. And in order to practice that faith, the emphasis is on the first thing, that we are set apart and carry the seal of God's promises. It is about wrestling with God, pleading on his promises, coming to him naked as a sinner, depraved, and begging him, Lord, please, what you depicted in baptism, make it come true in my life and the life of my dear children. That's baptism. Baptism is so rich, but please, dear congregation, don't make any mistake. It doesn't save you. Look to the people of Israel. So many were baptized into Moses, went through the Red Sea, and so many perished. No faith, according to Paul. No faith, no true faith. Well, but for all who believe, for all who hunger and thirst for Christ, because what is faith anymore than to be hungry and thirsty for Christ and his righteousness and his salvation and his life? What is faith more than telling Jesus Christ, here I am, Lord, have mercy upon me, trusting him? But for all who believe in him, who are hungry and thirsty for him, poor in spirit, for all of them, there is with great certainty the arrival in the heavenly Jerusalem, that eternal land overflowing with milk and honey, with great certainty, because Christ went that way. He is the way and the door. Well, the way to heavenly Jerusalem isn't easy. Many of us know that, hopefully all of us. Life isn't easy. Those who follow Christ, and my hope and prayer is that you all follow Christ, know what it is to be afflicted, know the struggles. You know, the people of Israel traveled 40 years through the desert. 40 years. But at times, the Lord gave them oasis. What a miracle it is, that we may experience that fellowship with Jesus Christ and be overflowed with his love, his mercy, and be filled with joy that we are in such an oasis. May the Lord give us such an oasis this morning, seeing what he depicted there in baptism, trusting him, finding everything we need in him. You know, then you begin to sing as parents. Parents sing often this song, Exodus 15, I will sing unto the Lord, my child. He has triumphed gloriously. I failed. As a pastor, as a parent, you probably did. And do, and will do. But he has triumphed gloriously. He has slain all mine enemies, which are his enemies. The horse and his rider is he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God he is. I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Dear parents, Nathan, Allison, said Rachel, sing often this song. Praise God in Jesus Christ for his salvation. Look back to the perfect history, a victory that is there in Christ. He is our strength. He is our song. And may that song be heard from your mouth, from the mouth of your grandparents, the mouth of your siblings, the mouth of widows and widowers here, the mouth of orphans, the mouth of them who go alone through life, from all our mouth, that we are a church family surrounding all these little children here. Because the Lord loves these little children. That's what we know from Mark 10, right? Let's be such a church family, singing the songs of victory because of the salvation in Christ. You know, singing chases away the devil, according to Luther. Well, it's true. Singing about Jesus Christ fills you with joy. It brings you to assurance of faith. Because you focus on Christ and Christ alone. Well, and then, with great certainty, despite the difficulties and afflictions in life, all that follow Jesus Christ will enter in the heavenly Jerusalem, and then the singing continues. Revelation 15. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over the image and over his mark and over the number of his name stands on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses. The great Moses, Jesus Christ, the servant of God, the son of the Lamb, saying, and may that song begin now and continue to sound in our life. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee here in Providence Reformed Church? Who shall not glorify thy name? Thou art holy. All nations shall come. Will we be there? Standing among these nations and worship before thee. Who do you worship? Your heart, the world, or Jesus Christ? And it ends. Thy judgment are made manifest. Lord, please. Come with haste. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, what to say after hearing their words? What to pray? Here we are, people so sinful and so weak, runaways. But thou, O Heavenly Father, in thy tender mercy gave thy only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ, thy Son, gave his life. He carried thy red, O Heavenly Father. Oh, please, and thou was with thy Holy Spirit. Work the miracle of regeneration. Bring us to repentance and faith, that we may live by faith, that we may sing that song that Moses once sang with all the people of Israel, and that it may truly come from our heart. Lord, bless these parents. Give them strength. Bless these children. Lord, make thy promises come true for them. Bless the grandparents, the further family. Lord, hear our prayer as we come before thee and ask for forgiveness of our sins, but at the same time, praise thy holy name for thy grace and mercy. Hear our prayer in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 164. 164. 164. That's Psalm 63. We'll sing two stanzas. 2 and 3. That's Psalm 63. Psalter 164, stanzas 2 and 3. Lift up your heart to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.